Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new experience.
Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Spirituality.
You got a question for RLM?
Spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Like I do, or if you're sick of it, you had to listen to it twice. Woo! You know, it's interesting just being inspired. So when I'm inspired in the moment, oh, I forgot to add this. I got it. And so I'm looking for things around the studio. I'm looking for things around the house. I said, I got to make sure I talk about this. And I'm running around. So that's why I was late. Reality, spirituality, this stuff happens all the time. All the time. Question. Yeah, I always get into the show really quick. Let me do a little backdrop for my new listeners. The show is growing. The show is growing organically. And thank you all for listening, and thank you for sharing with your friends, with your family, with people you like, people you don't like. Thank you for sharing reality, spirituality. I'm a little different here. I'm the one that talks about happiness. And when I say happiness, how to experience more of it. You know, I asked somebody, this was a few months ago, I said, well, how often are you happy during the month? And he said, I don't know, you know, when I'm playing golf, maybe 1 or 2 days, 3 days out of the month. Well, I don't know about you, my dear audience, but that just ain't enough. I have my intention, my goal, my agenda is to feel happy. And when I say happiness, I'm talking about an internal state of being, an internal state of peace and relaxation and contentment and just feeling good about life and in every moment. And that includes the moments, that, oh, no, this isn't happening, is it? Oh, no, that's not happening to me now, universe, is it? Why, universe? That doesn't make me feel good. Why is this happening? No, I'm talking about being at peace regardless of whatever happens to you, regardless of what happens, and regardless of what doesn't happen. And that's my definition of happiness, to be at peace regardless of what happens and regardless of what doesn't happen. I mean, can you get any better than that? And so this search, this wanting, this feeling of wanting to be happy. I mean, everybody, you look around, searching, looking for happiness in all, what is there a song? In all the wrong places. When I say wrong places, all I mean is that you're not going to find happiness there. I was on the phone with someone 2 days ago, and he was saying, and trust me, I don't talk on the phone a lot, but this person is grandfathered in, and so sometimes I got to break down and have a telephone conversation. And he says, you know, you're in Oregon, you're retired, you know, you're in the middle of the forest, you're living the life, you're really fortunate. This is no wonder you're happy. No wonder why you're happy. Let me tell you something, and I try to explain it, but I already know that talking to civilians when I'm not on the radio or I'm not on a stage, it becomes frustrating for me because excuse me. Hold on a second, audience. I have to get some. What is this? This is my water, and it's alkaline water, perfect hydration, electrolytes. Hold on a second. Let me take a couple of sips. Not sips, gulp. Okay, I'm back. And I even opened my mouth, and I already knew because I was talking to a civilian, and I said, you know, that's not being retired and living in a, you know, in a forest and having a creek in the backyard and clean air to breathe, that's not making me happy. That's not what it is that makes me happy. It's nothing that's out there. It's nothing that I have, quote-unquote, achieved in this human world that makes me happy. No, the happiness that I'm talking about, the happiness that I teach, the happiness that I share with people is a practice skill. It has nothing to do with where I am. I could be in a jail cell. I could be out in the street. So it is a state of being. And that's what I share on this show. Not, oh, when I get this, I'll be happy, or when I do this, I'll be happy, or when I'm with my Prince Charming, I'll be happy. No, this happiness is a state of being right in every moment, regardless of what happens. And that's what I talk about on the show. But when I say it's a practice, it's a skilled practice. So on this show, on Reality Spirituality, all I do is teach what to practice. That's it. And you either practice it or you don't. You're either committed to wanting to feel more peace in your life or you're not. And because I remember trying to convince him, and see, that's the thing. When I have an agenda, I have an agenda. Oh, my agenda is to enlighten and to teach. Yeah, on the radio, yes. Podcast, yes. Stage, yes. In a book, yes. But in real life, my role, if I want to be happy, is to be accepting of whatever this person believes. And guess what? In that moment, I wasn't. Oh, no, I wasn't, because I had a rebuttal. I even explained it, just like I said. Oh, it's not where I live. It's not the clean air. It's not the creek in the backyard. It's none of those things. It's the practice. And, of course, the understanding, my saying that went right over his head. And then it just came right back to me because it was my fault that I even tried to, because he didn't ask me a question. He didn't say, well, you know, why are you happy, or why do you seem so peaceful? He didn't ask me that. So anyway, I got off on a little tangent there, but it just reminded me that one of the things that subtracts from happiness in your everyday life is a lack of acceptance of other people's point of view. And I'm going to come off right now at the top of this show and let you know that everything that I say is my perspective. this has brought me peace. This has brought me more happiness. And I'm very open to whatever you decide, whatever you think, whatever you practice. I just want to just put the question out. Are you sure you're at peace during life's ups and downs and ups and downs? See, because just saying it is not enough. It's the practices. It's where's the evidence of it? And if you're getting angry and if you're getting annoyed and if you're frustrated with what anybody else is doing, I'm just saying, okay, you're practicing something different than what I'm practicing. And that's okay. It has to be okay. Woo! I'm on fire today, and I'm on fire. And let me just say this. This show, Reality Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness, Reality Spirituality Radio, for my new listeners, this show is about how to experience more happiness in your own life. The real definition of happiness, which I just said, is to be able to be at peace regardless of what's going outside in the world, regardless of what's going on in any moment. Regardless of what happens to you, because what happens to you has nothing to do with your happiness. What happens to you has nothing to do with your happiness. What happens to you takes on, what happens to you, number one, when you put a judgment on it, when you have a preference of wanting something different, when you label it good or bad, yes, it's going to subtract from your happiness. But happiness is being able to flow through any moment without resistance, with all acceptance, with all surrender, with this trust and this knowing that whatever you are experiencing is there to work for you. Whatever you are experiencing is there to serve you. That's a difficult practice because we're not taught that. No, we were all programmed to be unhappy, to say that, okay, this is happening, now that's going to affect my mood, my emotions. Oh, you say, oh, that's normal. And I'm here to tell you, no, it's a programming. You were programmed to be unhappy. You weren't born being unhappy because if you weren't born like that. You don't see the one-year-old, the two-year-old. You look at them. They're in their own world. If you told them that the world is burning up, they're going to go, oh, okay. What I'm talking about, what I teach, what I share, what I practice is prior to how to get to that individual, how to get to that person, how to get to self before the programming, how to recognize the programming, how to recognize it and eliminate it and practice non-programmed behavior. And what started it off today, I didn't even know I was going to do a Father's Day show. Who knows what I'm going to do? It's all inspiration. It's all inspired. What started it today for me, you want to know what really bothers me? I received a text. Hold on a second. Let me find it. I have to read it exactly because if anybody read this text, well, I don't know that. So that's another thing. Thinking that I know what anybody is going to respond to or how anybody else is going to react, that's another thing that's going to subtract from my happiness. So let me scratch that and pretend that let me tell the truth that I have no clue as to how anybody would react to this text that I got this morning. But I'll tell you how I reacted to the text. It says, and I'm going to quote because I have it right here in my hand. It says, remember to celebrate your father with all your happiness, health, appreciation, and love. This is the most important job. Celebrate it with him. I'll read it again just in case you didn't get how angry this is, why this makes me so angry. Remember to celebrate your father with all your happiness, health, appreciation, and love. This is the most important job. Celebrate it with him. Can anybody guess, especially you people that have been listening to the show for a long time? The show's going to be almost 10 years. Can you believe that? Can anybody guess why that is just is so infuriating? And I say that tongue-in-cheek, come on. But it did strike a nerve. It did strike a nerve with me. One of the reasons that it struck a nerve is because you can't get any more programmed from this text. Remember to celebrate your father. Now, what if you have a father that molested you? What if you have a father that left you? What if you have a father that didn't support you? I'm talking about financially. What if you have a father that abandoned you? What if you had a father in the house that was emotionally abusive, that said you were stupid, that hit you? What if you had that kind of father? Where is the reference to that kind of father? What is this program craft? I know. If you want to really bother me, just start talking program stuff to me. Just give me a program. Hey, how is your day going? How was the weekend? How is it? Did you do anything exciting? Or you want to really get under my skin? Just talk to me in a program. Well, that's not true too, because now I'm learning to laugh at it. But it ain't easy. So what about if you had a father like that? What if you had a father? You know what? I love sports and I love football. I was looking at this one. It was about, I think it was about Barry Sanders, who is a running back. He played before I really got into football, but I know he's really, really good. And they're doing a whole show on Barry Sanders. And his father was interviewed. I believe it was Barry Sanders. And his father was interviewed because Barry Sanders was one of the top running backs ever in the NFL history. And his father said, you know, asked him, they said, well, who do you think is the best running back? And his father said, well, I don't think what he said was, it's not my own son. No, the best running back is this other guy, Walter Payton. No, my son comes second or third or fourth. You know, he's not the best. Now, listen, I know this thing about tough love, and sometimes it fuels people to do better. I think, what's his name? I just watched this the other day, too. Lance Armstrong. Lance Armstrong, who was who did the triathlon, right? The Tour de France, that's what he did. He's a cyclist. And he grew up with his father who was, even the father said, he says, you know, I rode him hard. I wasn't easy on him. You know, slave driver. I'm sorry, but let me just be clear. We are all as different as our fingerprints, and maybe that would work for some people. Maybe it would work for some people to get to a level of excellence in the world of accomplishment. Tour de France, best running back. Who else is the father? Jerry Rice had a father. Said, no, he never told me he loved me. He never said he was proud of me. None of that stuff happened. Not proud of me, didn't love me. You know, he couldn't express it. Back in the day, those fathers were like that. So what does that do? How does that display itself to an individual who is always, or who had feelings of wanting to please his father, and wanted his father to say, I'm proud of you, and wanting his father to say, I love you, and wanted his father to say, put his arms around you. What is that? Is that kind of father listed in this text? See, this is the most important job. Celebrate it with him. Well, what is a good father? I'm glad you asked me that. I'm just so sick of the programming of Happy Father's Day. Everybody has a good father. Well, anyone can be a father. Anyone can be a father. but how do you raise the individual? The evidence of being a good father, in my humble opinion, and there's nothing humble about my opinion, in my opinion, is how the hell did the kid turn out? Right? How does this child treat others? How does this person who is a child and raised by this man who they call father, how do they view themselves? Can they look in the mirror and feel at ease and at peace with self? Because I'll tell you right now, listen, Ralph Norrington, my father, happy Father's Day, Dad. It wasn't until I got to a place, it wasn't until I reached, because I'm going to say reached a time in my life, but it was all an evolution. It was believing my father was always this all-knowing. I remember telling him, I want to marry a man just like you when I grew up. I think it was 10 or 11. I want to marry. I'll never forget it. I was in a parking lot. I looked at my dad and I said, I want to marry. I think maybe I was 12. I want to marry a man just like you. From that stage to listening, and when I say listening, it is an indoctrination. It is an indoctrination that these fathers, these parents, these mom and dad, or this is Father's Day today, that they instill in their children what they believe. And let me tell you something right now. I don't know if this is true for everyone, but I would bet that it is a majority that if a child or a young adult starts veering off and not really believing and doing and following in the footsteps of what the father believes and has preference to. And I mean, I'm just talking about, if you want to be political, let's just be political with a party. I mean, if you were raised Republican and all of a sudden you're going off into a Democrat, or you're raised a Democrat and now you're Republican and your father is either one way, you think that's going to be cool? Is the role of a father, what is the role of a father? To teach, and what is it that the father teaches? Now, if you want my opinion, and nobody asked me, but I'm going to share it anyway, the role of a father, the role of a good father, and the role of a good father is someone who allows the child to be, when I say free spirit, to be free to be themselves. Free to be themselves without any judgment, without any comments, it is all acceptance. All acceptance. All the time. I'll tell you, well, this is what I think. I'll tell you what I believe when I say a good father. A good father in my eyes is someone who the child feels comfortable, the child, man or woman, feels comfortable telling their father anything and everything. Now, if the child can't tell, now when I say tell the father anything and everything, of course, there are things that are private. But I'm talking about, it was so funny, my son got on the line and he just hung up. But see, this is a sensitive thing, because I'm talking about fathers here on Father's Day. And this includes all fathers. Anywho, where was I? Oh, hold on a second. Let me. And you know what? Let me scratch that, because I don't even know why he got on the line and then he's gone. It could be anything. Bad connection. Subway's not working. Phone's dead. So let me get off the pretending that I know. You see how I got to stay on it pretending that I know. But maybe it's a topic that he's not interested in. Who knows? Where was I? Oh, fathers. So, how many fathers are accepting of the way any child thinks, does, and especially if it's different than what their beliefs are? See, that takes someone who is open. Now, question. I was talking about something. Okay, hold on a second, because I lost my train of thought. Fathers, good fathers. No. Oh, that's what I remember. Okay. So if you're able to come to your father and talk to him about anything, again, this is my perspective, talk to him about anything without you having any fear or angst or there may be a problem here, because that problem, that small thinking that there might be a problem depending on the topic, means that, okay, I know I can talk to my father about A, B, and C, and I know I can't talk to my father about D, E, and F. And I'm here to tell you that, oh my goodness, there were more things that I couldn't talk to my father about. There were more things that I couldn't talk to my father about than I could. You know what I'm talking about, Ralph Norrington. Until he got to a place where he was mentally unable to understand, and then I could talk to him about anything, which is really fun. But no, the majority of things I could not talk to Ralph Norrington about. No way. Because Ralph Norrington would have his own judgment and his own opinion, and he would not be accepting to even listen. Not only listen, it was always, I'm right. And so my definition of a good father is a man that, and there's a difference between a man and a male. See, there's a male, and males can, you can impregnate tons of women. But a man, you know what, scratch that, because that's another label too. So scratch all of what I just said. This is just my personal. The man that is open to allowing their child to be themselves, not only to be themselves, but to express themselves and to feel free in the presence, to feel not judged, to feel accepted. And don't tell me that there aren't tons and tons and tons and tons of fathers who, I'm just going into the gay community, it doesn't matter, who have disowned their children, especially the sons. You know what, now I'm getting off into a tangent too. But so don't tell me good father just because you can be a father. I don't know, that really struck me this morning. Am I getting off on a tangent? Sometimes I do. See, let me back up to this quote. Celebrate it with him. So this person that sent this text to me, usually fathers have goals for their children, their own goals, as opposed to supporting whatever goal the child has or the goal that the child wants. So I'm not into just celebrating Father's Day just because you impregnated someone. I'm just not into it. I've got to see evidence of how your son or your daughter feels about themselves in the mirror. And there's one person in my life who I'm gonna have to say that the only one that I've seen evidence of is, and he allows his daughter to be herself to the point of just the freedom that this girl has to express herself. I have to say, I wish you would have been my dad, because allowing your son or your daughter to be themselves and to be free to be themselves, and to be themselves meaning without any judgment, without any expectation, and wanting, okay, here we go, and wanting anything other than what they view, in other words, supporting them wholly, without, I support you if you do this and this and this, but if you go on this path, if you turn to the right, I'm giving my support up. There are some fathers who, and my father is another one, there are some fathers who dictate to their daughters and to their sons who they want them to marry, what type of person, what status, what color, all of that. I've heard it firsthand. Is that being a good father? I'm going to let you answer that one. My own father, I tell this story, and it's in my first book, Reality, Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness. I talk about it. I think I tell this. No, maybe I didn't tell the story. I'll tell it really quickly. I've told it on the air before. When I was younger, there was a test. It's called Myers-Briggs test. It's a personality test. And it's a test that has almost 100 questions, and it takes a long time to take. It's probably an hour and a half to take. You have to read through all the questions, and it's a long test. And I remember taking this test in my early, maybe I was my late 20s. And I remember taking the test, and I remember the results, and I'm looking at the results and reading them, and I'm thinking, that's not me. And I took the test again because I said I must have answered it wrong, or let me take this test again because this is not me. I took the test again and it's still the same. I changed a couple of answers. I mean, I really dig deep. How do I want to answer this? And I took the test again and I finally recognized who I tested like. I tested like my father. What I was reading, the results of that personality test that I took, my father. And my point is, it was a real eye-opener for me to step back and say, okay, peel off what's not you. That's his belief. That's his wants. That's his perspective. That's his point of view. And it's not yours. You can have your own. And that was very scary for me. It was very scary going against this man who I put up on a pedestal for decades. He was the be-all, end-all. And not to say that Ralph Norrington wasn't a be-all, end-all in certain categories. And in other categories, this man broke my spirit. This man believed in spanking, corporal punishment. I mean, I got a spanking, I mean, on the bed with a belt. I was 17 years old. And I was one of those kind of kids, you know, you hear people talking about getting spanked and all that made me better. No, that just fucked me up. Getting hit, getting spanked throughout my life really was not for me. It didn't do me any favors. It was really working out of that. But if I want to get, if I really want to look at the bigger picture, and this is what I have to do, is that everything happens for a reason, including the spanking, including the evolution that, okay, I'm not my father. All of it happened. I had to evolve in a way that everything that happened to me had a purpose, including the spanking, including the overbearing father, including the father that broke my spirit. And again, that's a story. Those are stories. But to get to this point, the interesting thing about my father is I didn't even know him until maybe the last, and when I say didn't know him, because he had this wall of not, no affection, don't cry, no holding hands, no, this wall of cement around his heart. And then when he mentally lost it, that wall of cement was gone, and this man was just a loving, you're beautiful, you're smart, you're great, all of this. But one of the things that Ralph Norrington did have throughout his life was to say that life is good. He always said that to me. Life is good. Life is good. It beats the alternative. And I never believed that he thought that because of how he acted. You know, he's always angry. There's always something to argue about. And so how can you say life is good? But he always did say that. And there is a part of me a huge part of me that is very grateful to that perspective at this time in my life. Because regardless of what I go through, regardless of what I experience, life is good. It really is good. And it doesn't matter what's happening or what's not happening. The child that can come to their father with any topic, and with the child that knows that there's no judgment, there's not going to be any judgment, that's going to be total acceptance, that's a good father, a great father just for me. Now let me take that back a little bit, because one of the problems, let me speak for myself, one of the problems that I had with this relationship with my father, relationship with my mother, is putting that label of father on it. Because with that label of father, and all labels subtract from your happiness, but with that label of father, brought expectations of what a father was supposed to do and be. And there were so many times when my father and the expectations that I had only because that label of father was on him, I was really disappointed, felt devalued, and all of the stories just oh my gosh. I remember when I was 18 and went on a vacation with a boyfriend of mine, and I told him I was going, and my father, when I came back, he wouldn't speak to me. He didn't speak to me for 3 months. He didn't speak to me for 3 months, and as my mother described it, she says, well, he didn't talk to you because you already had, no, She says, well, you already had your honeymoon, and you're not married. That was the quote. My father said, I already had my honeymoon and I wasn't married. Yeah, that's really old-fashioned. That means you already had sex and you're not married and I'm not speaking to you. So that's the kind of... So with that said, that's a filler. So taught me again. there's certain things I can tell my father and certain things I can't. And this one person that has the daughter, he says, listen, he's told her. He says, come to me if you want to have sex. Come to me if you want to smoke weed. Come to me if you want to do drugs. Come to me. Because his mother was pregnant at 16, and the family not only disowned her, but they took that baby and that baby was raised by the grandmother instead of the mother. He grew up thinking that his grandmother was his mother and thinking that his mother was his sister. So see, there's a lot of shame that parents put on children. So I'm not here with the blanket Happy Father's Day, with the blanket Happy Father's Day, because now listen, I know that the program is to celebrate Father's Day, and I know it's an obligation, and Father's Day falls on this Sunday, third Sunday in every June. And I get it. I totally get it. And people are going over to everyone's houses, and they're having barbecues and Happy Father's Day and Father's, yes. I just can't buy into the blanket everybody Happy Father's Day for everybody. I mean, the emperor is not wearing clothes here. Speaking of Father's Day, and this is going to be really crazy. This is a really crazy. I don't even know if I want to do that. Fear of judgment. You know, there is a sense of lack of lack of value. I'm talking about for myself. Lack of value. Lack of worthiness. Lack of. And I'm going to say that I inherited that lack of feeling, lack of value, because the truth is my own father didn't really value. I probably should have started the show with this. If you're still listening, the truth is my father didn't value himself because of some decisions that he made, and there were times when he was more comfortable. I know my father felt very, very less than because he didn't have a college education. He said it. High school, no college education, for a time where education was valued. And if you didn't have a college education, then your value was less. So I inherited a lot of this from both mother and father. And know that whoever's listening, you are a separate identity. You are a separate entity from your parents, from your mother and your father. They are two people that are trying to work their shit out too. And what you take or what you inherit from your father or your mother, make sure that it serves you or is serving you. Make sure that it fits you. Make sure that it fits who you are. Because we're so different. All of us are so different that I probably have maybe, I don't know, 3, 4, at the most 5 things in common with my father, being an individual. But the question becomes, are you okay with not having all of this stuff in common and still being a father? Not having all the stuff in common with your child and still being a father that doesn't judge and accept. So what makes a good father? I'm looking for total acceptance without judgment, and someone who's going to support me for being me. someone who allows me to be free, someone who doesn't put any obligations or any strings on me, or any tasks, someone that doesn't have a list of rules that I have to follow, or else he's going to get angry, or else he's going to be dissatisfied. Good Father is all accepting, all knowing, just like the universe is. So the closer the Father is to the universe, the better the fit for me. Father's Day. This thing about respect too. I know the fathers with this respect here. Respect me. Respect. Well, the respect comes from the person in the mirror. And what is this respect? Blind respect. Respect. What is that? That's another man-made term. That's another programming. No, for all you fathers out there who are demanding respect, you got to get you respect yourself. Meaning, I'm not talking that some kid comes into your house and starts wailing on you, screaming and calling you, you know, names, calling you names. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm being civil, of course, but demanding a certain behavior. So celebrate whatever you want to celebrate. Whoever you want to celebrate on Father's Day, I just have a different take on it. And I know, scratch that. What I feel and what I'm inspired to say is, how does your Father make you feel about your decisions, about your life? That will determine that you either feel supported or you feel or not. So a good father, in my humble opinion, is someone who you can be in their presence and there is an ease, there is a feeling of acceptance, there is a feeling that this person is there, is really a fan. This person is a fan. There you go. Father, a good father, only through my eyes, is someone who is a real fan of their child. In all, with all of it, not just the fan when they're doing what they want to do. You know, following this, well, I want you to go to college, and so if you're enrolled in a 4-year school, I'm with you. But if you decide that you want to go to a trade school, or maybe you decide you want to do something else, I'm not going to be a fan. You know, a real father, a good father, is a fan of their child. How's that? Jeez. Reality Spirituality is heard every Sunday at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. I don't have my website up yet. That's okay. You can follow me on Twitter at RL Norrington. My Instagram handle is Reality Spirituality. My YouTube channel, I do have a YouTube channel. I know I'm going to be adding some more things to it. Nah, 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 nah. My second book, my first book, Reality Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness, can be purchased on Amazon. And my second book, the one that I'm writing now, is Program for Unhappiness. It's going to be out sometime soon, sooner than later. And until next week, my dear audience, I want you to remember who you are. You are a physical extension of the universe. You're always evolving, you're always changing, you're always growing. Love is patient and love is kind. Be kind and be patient to yourself. Be your own best friend. Remember, you cannot have a happy ending with an unhappy journey. It is about the journey. You've been listening to Reality Spirituality. with your host, Rebecca L. Warrington. Thank you for listening. Have a conscious week, and happy Father's Day. Wow.
Yeah. Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new
experience.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man. You got a question for RLM?
Yeah,
it's time to get some answers, baby.
Get real.
Time to get real.